You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Foreign Minister Winston Peters is headed to New York for a conference on the two-state solution in the Middle East, where debate over Palestinian recognition and statehood will take place during the 80th session of the UN General Assembly. As countries like Australia and Canada pledge support for Palestinian statehood, alongside other countries that have either expressed intent or already done so, Peters has remained closed off as to whether or not New Zealand will join these ranks. I spoke to the Professor of International Relations at the University of Otago, Robert Patman, about what these expressions of support for Palestinian solidarity mean in the long run, and what we can and should expect from Peters and the government in this regard. What does the support of countries like Australia and Canada mean for Palestinian statehood?
I think it's very important. Initially, it's symbolic. Remember that the majority of countries in the UN, out of 193, there's at least 142 prior to these recent bout of recognitions, or series of recognitions, I should say, which have added to the total. So we now have Britain, Australia, Canada, as well as Portugal, about to extend recognition. It is significant because while the vast majority of countries already recognise the prospect of a Palestinian state, most liberal democracies have been waiting for the United States to lead on this issue. But the United States has changed its position from the Biden administration to the second Trump administration. The second Trump administration has fallen in basically behind the Netanyahu position, which has been longstanding, which does not recognize any prospect of political self-determination for the Palestinians. Indeed, the current Israeli government has indicated it will annex the West Bank, where 4 million Palestinians live, and take full control of Gaza, and has also indicated, with encouragement from the United States, that it will welcome the prospect of Palestinians leaving Gaza, which I think is diplomatic speak for saying they're going to try to evict them.
I mean, in terms of that US support for Israel, what are we likely to see from this growing support for Palestinian statehood? Is that going to have any real effect?
Well, it's a tough situation because Israel depicts this as rewarding terrorism, that by countries like Britain, Australia and Canada, by recognising a Palestinian state, they'll say they're rewarding Hamas terrorism. I think that's wrong. I think what these countries are doing is signifying disapproval of Netanyahu's government's refusal to acknowledge the Palestinian right of political self-determination. And there is a practical concern here. While the step is symbolic, it has practical implications. That is to say, if we wait till Hamas is defeated, by that time, many countries believe that Israel would be in full possession of the disputed territories, and therefore there'd be no actual geographical space for a Palestinian state, given the publicly expressed intentions of Netanyahu. Netanyahu has never wanted a Palestinian state. He broke with the Oslo Accord back in the early 90s, and since the mid-90s has basically campaigned against a Palestinian state. And it's kind of ironic he accusing Western countries of rewarding Hamas, because up until shortly before the appalling terrorist attack by Hamas on Israel in October 2023, Netanyahu had tacitly supported Hamas, encouraged Qatar to provide financial support for Hamas's organization. Why? Because it wanted to keep the Palestinians divided. So in Netanyahu's mind, the key strategic objective is to prevent Palestinian unification, any prospect of a Palestinian state. And I think this step is an attempt to prevent Mr. Netanyahu changing the situation on the ground before most countries have expressed their position.
And why haven't Foreign Minister Winston Peters and the New Zealand government announced their position?
I think for several reasons. I think it's domestic politics. This is a coalition government. And it's no secret that David Seymour has a position that's probably much more pro-Israeli than either Mr. Peters, the foreign minister, or Mr. Luxon, the prime minister. By keeping this decision under wraps, although Seymour has spoken out about it, by keeping this decision under wraps, it avoids opening up what could be a damaging debate within the government before they're in a position to formalise the decision. I think there's another reason here, and that concerns the United States. I think New Zealand has waiting for other liberal democracies to make their move before it wanted to announce it or go ahead. New Zealand is feeling quite vulnerable after the tariffs that we received from the United States, 10% tariff, and then that was boosted to a 15% tariff. There's little doubt that the Trump administration will not be pleased by these moves. And I think from the government's point of view, one of the advantages of keeping any decision under wraps until the last moment is that it prevents the United States expressing its public displeasure. And if the Trump administration did criticize the coalition government, that could cause a crisis within the coalition government, given Mr. Seymour's position. Also, Miss New Zealand's first position is much more ambiguous on the Palestinian issue. Some of the supporters of the New Zealand First and ACT may well be Trump sympathisers. In short, by keeping this decision under wraps to next week, or this week, I should say, and not stating a position up front, from the coalition government's point of view, it makes things a lot more orderly and prevents a debilitating debate before a decision's made.
And what sort of answer should we see or should we expect to see from this government?
Well, I think this is belated. I think New Zealand, let's be quite clear, the crisis in Gaza goes to the heart of our identity. This country was founded in the Treaty of Waitangi, which was cooperation between the indigenous people and the European settlers. And while we haven't always implemented the treaty as fully as we probably could, nevertheless, that is the vision and the aspirations behind it. And that translates into our vision of how the world should be organized. We want to see a world based on rules, principles, and international law. What we're witnessing in Gaza was, first of all, a war crime by Hamas, which initiated this round of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis didn't begin on the 7th of October 2023. It seems to me that this situation is that we could have, our position has been somewhat ambiguous. In the UN, we were the first country amongst the Five Eyes to support a ceasefire. At the same time, we didn't hesitate to cooperate with Washington in dealing, helping to sort of contain the consequences of this crisis. We, for example, sent six Defence Force personnel to try to contain, or try to counter, I should say, the illegal activities of the Houthi rebels. But the Houthi rebels were only began their campaign against civilian shipping, and that's not condoning it, but they only began it 6 weeks after the Gaza crisis, and they indicated would there be a ceasefire in Gaza, they would end their campaign immediately. So we've been a bit ambiguous. On the one hand, supporting a two-state solution, supporting an immediate ceasefire. On the other hand, not really vocalizing that or articulating that much outside the UN. And it seems to me that we could have been leading on this issue at a much earlier stage. It's Spain and Ireland amongst the Western countries that have taken up the the lead. Let's be quite clear about this. It's not in New Zealand's interest for its national law to be trashed. Our country critically depends on what's called a rules-based order. It may be an inconvenience for great powers, but for us, it's the way it sets the framework in which New Zealand protects its, both its trade interests and also its security interests. So we have a lot at stake, both in what's happening in Gaza and also in the Ukraine. But it seems to me that given our core national interests are at stake, I would have thought the government could have been a bit more robust earlier.
That was the University of Otago's Robert Patman on international support for Palestinian statehood in the midst of the ongoing UN session and what we can expect from Foreign Minister Winston Peters.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.